Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
If you would you bow with me and let's pray before we dig into the Word here. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be encouraged, but also to be challenged from the gospel message, to be able to hear the gospel. So clearly explain to us we're all in need of a Savior, Jesus, because we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. And we need a Savior, and thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, that He would give His life so that we could have life eternally with you. Lord, that's the gospel. That's the good news, and we're thankful that you've saved us by your grace and, Lord, through faith. And, Lord, we pray for those who may be even sitting here this morning who have not yet given their life to Jesus, that they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, thank you for the difficulties and the trials of life. We know that's how our faith is strengthened. Lord, we count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. And we want endurance to have its perfect work in us so that you may shape us and mold us more like your Son, Jesus. And Lord, while we embrace these struggles and trials of our life, Lord, it is difficult. And so we pray, coming and asking for your Spirit to intercede in the hearts and the minds of those who are walking through trials, but also giving wisdom to those who are helping to care for those who are walking through these. So we pray for John and Mary Kay this morning. We pray that you give the doctors wisdom and guidance as they care for Mary Kay. Lord, we pray for this internal bleeding, that you would turn it off. You would heal her, you would touch her, and allow her to recover quickly and fully, Lord. Lord, we also pray for Pam Sears and her Dennis, and we just pray that you'd minister to them even this day, that they would sense and know your presence, Lord, that you would encourage Pam's heart, and Lord, your peace would just overwhelm them. It would flood them, Lord, in their minds, their hearts, their soul, Lord, and it would provide great peace. Lord, we pray for Gwen as she and her family prepare for Tuesday morning. We pray that you would give the doctors and nurses wisdom and guidance, guide their hands, guide their eyes. Lord, give them the wisdom that they need even beyond their own capability, Lord, that you would intercede in just a powerful and awesome way. Lord, that this surgery, Lord, the tethering and the infusion, Lord, would go well. Lord, that there would be no complications, and that you would give Gwen just a great peace. Lord, that you would walk with her and with Greg and Joelle and Bennett as well. Lord, that you would just allow them your peace as they walk through this day and the days to come. We pray for quick healing, and Lord, we just pray for your protection, and we pray that this would be an avenue for their family, Lord, to continue to share of the good news of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, bless them and encourage them. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word helping us to see who we are and who you are. And, Lord, thank you that you've told us that we can pray. And so, Lord, as we look into your word and we're reminded here about prayer, Lord, may it truly encourage our hearts and challenge us to see the great power when we pray. Lord, we know that power is not in and of ourselves. It comes from you. And so, Lord, challenge our hearts, and may we apply it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to read a couple passages for you. I'll let you stay seated. You just have to wake up for me, okay? All right. So James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Three of these verses I read last week as we talked about confessing our sins to one another. I won't ask you how many of you went and confessed your sins to somebody close to you. If you didn't do that, let me challenge you. What are you waiting for? All right, you had your invitation. I want to encourage you as you walk through life that you will do that very thing. None of us are perfect. We need accountability, but we need to confess our sins to one another. I didn't say that. Jesus, God's word, God says that in his word. That's the one another's, and we've been commanded to do that. So if we've been commanded, we should do that. Amen? So let's look at James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. If you have not familiar with that story of Elijah, I encourage you to do a little digging and read that. It's one of the most phenomenal stories. As a young child, I remember talking about flannel graph. I remember that flannel graph picture because there was no clouds in the sky, and then all of a sudden there's this little cloud that appears, and we see the reminder here of James writing to us, reminding us that that Elijah was just like us. Elijah wasn't a god. He didn't have just special privileges. He was a man just like you and me. And so wouldn't you like to pray like that, to have that kind of prayer? The truth is we struggle in our prayer life, and that's why I want to read to you this passage from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28 and verses 34 through 37, where Paul is writing in Romans 8, 26, where he says this, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Then we jump down to verse 34. "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." As we think about prayer, it can be overwhelming because of many different reasons. One of the reasons is because we're all sinners, right? And sometimes we don't feel worthy that we could go to a righteous and just God being sinners. I love what James says, "The prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so let me encourage you with just a couple things here. What we see here from the text is, number one, great power is shown through our prayers when we have righteous living. Righteous living. We know that righteous living only comes through Jesus, right? Because what we have good, our good works are like filthy rags, all right? And so we walk living and abiding and walking with Jesus, knowing that our righteousness is not good enough, but the righteous man who prays availeth much. He's the one who sees Jesus, see his needs for Jesus, and walks according to the ways of Jesus. We don't get to do our own thing. We don't get to a license, once we accept Jesus as our Savior, to live our own way. No, we live righteous lives, not for salvation, but to show the world and to show that we are followers of Jesus, to show that Jesus is the priority. And so our prayer, through prayer, praying for one another, it's shown, that power is shown as we live righteous lives. Number two, it takes fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. There's a term there that James uses that is fervent. It's an ongoing. When you do something fervently, it's not a picture of you sitting back in your recliner in your easy chair, all right? It reminds me of watching my mom scrub the kitchen floor, All right, that picture of getting on our hands and knees and scrubbing, being diligent. Prayer is something that we have to be diligent in. It takes fervency. Then what we see as we seek the Lord, we see Him work. And we see Him work in these next three things that I want to share with you are not what we can provide, but as we live righteous lives, seeking the ways of Jesus, and as we pray fervently, we will see God show up. Even when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us. And not only does the Spirit intercede for us, but what does Paul say in Romans there? That Jesus is interceding for us as well. And when we do that, when we see the need and the power of prayer, these three things show up. Healing. That's what James is talking about. The context tells us those who are sick, and the elders come in and they pray over them. Why is there healing? Because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our leaders should be righteous people. They're not perfect, but they should be seeking to do right. And we see a healing, not only just physically, but we see that spiritually as well. We also see, the second thing we see is forgiveness. Forgiveness when we've wronged somebody, and forgiveness in our relationship with Jesus. The third is fruit. Thinking back to the story that James kind of gives us just a brief snapshot, when there's rain or when there is a drought, there is no fruit, right? There's a drought. And yet when Elijah prays and the rain comes, that little cloud appears, what is produced? Fruit. Fruit comes from someone who is righteously living and fervently praying. Who produces that fruit? We can't. As much as I've tried in my, 26 and a half years of ministry, I can't produce fruit. Not eternal fruit, not fruit that lasts, and that's a good thing. God does the work of the fruit. And so we see that as we come to Him, that's why we pray. That's why we need Him. It can't be us who does it ourselves. Three questions here as I finish up. One, plan. When you pray and when you think about your prayer life, do you plan your prayer life? You're like, no, I should pray always. Do you pray always? Because I don't pray all the time without ceasing, even though Paul says pray without ceasing. It takes planning, and you should plan. And let me ask you, what's your plan for your prayer life? If you don't have a plan, you don't have a prayer life. It's like I think Larry Burkett said about a budget. If you don't write your budget out, you don't have a budget. If you don't have a plan, you probably don't have a prayer life. Let me encourage you to make your prayer life significant. Let's see the power of God work in our lives and work through our church. Make a plan. Chances are you plan for your meals, right? I like planning for my meals. I like to eat. That's why I run, so I can eat. I like planning for my meals, all right? You plan to exercise. You plan maybe a date night with your spouse. You plan family time. You plan vacation. You plan things that are important to you. Is there anything more significant in your life that you need more than to be in God's Word and to pray? No. You know that. So why don't you plan it? Put a plan together, and you can always tweak it. You can always move things around. But let me encourage you that you have a plan to pray. Second is this, priority. And this goes along with your plan, priority. Where is your priority of prayer? This goes in our relationships too. I try hard not to just tell somebody that we're going to pray for them. Oftentimes I will stop right there and just pray with the individual because one, I don't want to forget and say that I prayed and I didn't really pray, but two, I want to make it a priority. It's a priority to go to God in prayer. Why? Because that's where the power is. It's not in saying that we'll pray. It's not in just giving words of encouragement. While all of that can be good things, the priority should be going to the one Creator God who is in charge of all things and who has the power to do whatever is needed. It's first. It shouldn't be last on the list. I'm a fixer. I'm a doer. I like fixing things. I like doing things. And I'm sad to say that a lot of times prayer is not the first thing that I do. It's coming up with a plan for me. It's coming up how I'm going to fix this solution, how I'm going to work through this problem. And so I continue to challenge myself. The Spirit of God continues to challenge me. Where is prayer in my priority as I live each day? Third is this, pray. Just pray. Say, I don't know what to pray. Just pray. I say it this way. You talk to God like you're just talking to some individual. And sometimes other people get to hear you. Just pray in your car, driving down the road. There's nobody in the car. And if they are, that's okay. They might think you're crazy, and that's all right. Pray. Why not do it? Ask yourself, what's keeping me from praying? What's keeping you from praying? There is this word, in the Greek, the effectiveness of the righteous man's prayer. And that word effective is energio. What does it sound like? Energy. When I saw that Greek word, I'm like, the prayer of a righteous man is energetic. It's effective. And maybe you don't have a lot of energy because you're not praying. Let me encourage you. I think our English word comes from that Greek word of being effective, energy. May we be effective. May we see our energy increase as we seek Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your time, and thank you for the opportunity just to come and to worship and to be reminded of the gospel and the need of the gospel being shared around the globe, and how we each have responsibility to live out the gospel right where we're at. And so, Lord, I pray that you will continue to help us as a church to pray for one another, to pray for the people inside of this church, but also that you would cast a burden and put a heaviness on our minds and our hearts for those who don't know Jesus, that we will pray for them, that they may see your power, that they may see your glory, that they would see Jesus Christ in their need for him to save them from their sin. Lord, we love you, we praise you, that you've given us all that we have to enjoy. We understand and know that what we have to offer is just ourselves. And yet, Lord, you've encouraged us to come to you. And may that be true, even as we sing, to come to Jesus, to come to you as we are. Not staying where we've been, but allowing your Spirit and your Word to change us so that your kingdom will continue to be spread around this world. We pray this in the blessed and most wonderful name, the name of Jesus.